Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. I've got a 2-4 in our number three. I am joined in the studio by none other than Maggie Dawn, who is the corporate counsel of Milwaukee County, and on the line, Dr. Craig, executive director of executive director of Citizen Action, is on the line. Bill from Oconomowoc, Bill from Waukesha. Let's go. Let's begin by saying, "Hey, Dr. Craig, how you doing?"
Good, and I'm up in Minocqua at the Joint Finance Committee. The last public hearing. Did a press conference. It's just starting. So glad Maggie's on there, too. She's great.
Dr. Craig, the thought about forcing people to go to work when they're laid off, cutting it back to 14 weeks, you know, and as if we somehow forgot that the legislature sat on their duffs and, you know, Democratic members had nothing to do with it. It was Robin Voss who chose to shut down the legislators at the Senate last year. And then for them to come back and say people shouldn't be sitting on their duffs, they need to get to work. What are your thoughts on that?
I think you're right, Earl, that if there's a lack of work ethic, it's in the legislature, not working people. We were the least productive, had the fewest meetings and open sessions, everything, of any of the full-time legislatures. There are only 9 states in this country that pay their legislators full-time, and we're one of them. And ours also excused themselves to get reelected very, very early in the election year. Whereas it's just a big lie that people are not working because they're getting some sort of gold-plated social benefits in this country or in Wisconsin. They're not doing it because they don't have access to good jobs, because they're not anywhere near them, because they haven't been given the opportunity to get the training they need or they're perceived to need for those jobs. They don't have good public transit links to those jobs. They don't have child care. If they're taking care of young children, you have to have child care guaranteed, as it is in other countries. There's a whole lot of reasons, and research shows that having these work requirements does not increase the number of people working. All it does is inflict huge pain by becoming yet another barrier to getting things folks need, like health coverage for themselves and their kids, like food assistance if they're food insecure. You name it, they need these things, and this is not a barrier to work. One barrier to work, another one other than the legislature, is that employers aren't paying enough, and I think they have some birthright, people to hire people at non-living wages. And you know what? They don't. If they raise their wages, they will get workers.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Dr. Craig, and I'm really excited to be on the air with you every week. When I am able to be here, I get to listen to you talk to Earl after I'm on. And one of the things that I enjoy most is that I think you tend to approach things from a reality and practical-based terms that I hope folks who sort of buy into a lot of these very tired tropes from the right can really hang on to. And there were a couple of things there that you mentioned that Earl and I hit on as we were coming up on this top of the hour. And first and foremost, I want to observe that someone who is a business owner who lives in Mequon, many folks who live in those collar counties, and this is not unique to Wisconsin, come into the city to work and then return outside of Milwaukee County, outside of those urban municipal governments, and that's where they own property, pay property taxes, and engage in a lot of their personal commercial activity, generating sales taxes in those collar counties. And since our funding regime in Wisconsin is so old, outdated, and frankly doesn't work, that has wrought an enormous economic burden on Milwaukee County, which is largely responsible for the $6 billion surplus. That $6 billion surplus has been brought about by an incredible boon of property taxes, sales taxes, and income taxes coming out of Milwaukee County over the last 30 years. You also hit on something that I always like to ask folks. Where is the bus line to the job out in the suburbs, that manufacturing line job? Where is the affordable training program on a bus line, right, to those sorts of jobs? Where is the affordable childcare? I don't know how somebody gets on a bus for a first shift job to go out to Oconomowoc to work in a plant and can afford childcare for some 10 hours a day. Oh, by the way, the bus line doesn't exist. The affordable childcare doesn't exist, right? You throw in what deductibles and co-payments are in a healthcare plan, and all of a sudden what looks like a family sustaining wage simply isn't. What we're talking about are working poor. And we haven't even addressed that core problem. And now that last very thin safety net, gossamer safety net, conservatives are proposing to cut even further. I couldn't agree with you more about what the data and statistics show about job requirements. They have never been shown to work. You go back to welfare reform when Tom Barrett was still in Congress. That was shoved through it with Wisconsin as sort of a petri dish for welfare reform on a national scale. All we did was create greater and more acute poverty and push people off of the social safety net programs that were their last foothold before diving into more acute and deeper poverty.
So, Dr. Craig, hang on one second. Let's get Bill from Waukesha in here. Bill, thank you for hanging on. You say what?
Hey, Earl, it's Paul from Waukesha.
Okay, Paul. Okay, go ahead, Paul.
Hey, how are you?
All right.
I have to say there's a lot of jobs in the skilled trades. In fact, where I'm working, we probably have like 10 job openings. We can't find anybody.
Where's your business located, Paul? Where is it?
Could I finish what I'm saying?
I was just curious. Where is it located?
We pay a good wage. We pay the average starting wage of where I work is over $20 an hour with a generous vacation and three-week vacation.
Hey, Paul, she's right. Where is this located? Paul, where is it located?
What's up?
Is it in Milwaukee?
Menominee Falls.
Okay, is there a bus line that runs to your business?
Yes.
Okay.
Right across the street from Harley Davidson.
From where?
Like, now, this is not. Could I finish?
Yeah, I just want to sort of. We're talking about the availability and the accessibility of these jobs, and you said it was a skilled trade position, so I'm assuming you need some sort of certification or trade training.
No.
You don't?
No.
You can walk in day one? That's great. Where do people go to apply for the jobs, and what's the phone number? And what's the bus line?
I work in flexible packaging.
Okay.
So it's not something that you could go to school for.
Okay.
You walk in, and we will teach you how to do these jobs.
Do you mind providing the information to people on air about how to get those jobs, those 20 job openings? And if you do know, what's the bus line?
Yeah, I didn't say 20 job openings. I said 10.
Okay.
So
at least 10 job openings.
Okay, so Paul, what she's saying is if that's so, and I know many people who would certainly be there, how did they even know about it? Here's the issue. It used to be, and Dr. Craig will tell you this, unemployment, there used to be unemployment departments, and there used to be one ads. And so if there were job openings, people would know that. How do people even know about what you're talking about? They don't.
Indeed. Indeed.com. If you look up flexible packaging in the Milwaukee area.
But how do people know if you hadn't said what you said, how would people even know about it? They wouldn't.
I think
there are so many. This is just my industry. We are dying for people.
Okay, all right.
There are three or four flexible packaging industries.
So what's the name of your business so that people that are listening that are in need of family-sustaining work, which we could have a different discussion about whether or not $20 an hour gets you there. I would maybe argue it doesn't. But what's the name of the business?
How much do you want?
I'm just saying that
I'm not going to name my business where I work at because I don't have permission to do that.
But they've got job openings.
Okay, Paul.
We have lots of job openings.
Hey, Paul, thank you very much for the call. Thank you very much for the call.
Milwaukee County's hiring. I'm just saying.
Let's say, Dr. Craig, this is kind of what we're dealing with because it's ships passing in the night. All of these so-called jobs that people aren't looking to work at, nobody knows anything about the fact that they're needed, right?
I mean, look, clearly employers are experiencing a frustration that the way they're advertising jobs and the jobs they have, they're knocking enough applicants. I don't think they're making that up. But there's a lack of curiosity as to why. And there's a tendency to default to some sort of to empirically unproven theories about a lazy public that's refusing to do it because they're getting badger care, right? Or they're getting food assistance, which, and, you know, research into the public, people feel dignity and they feel independence when they work. They want to work. There are very few people who want to sit around on a hammock. There are people like that. It's a terrible stereotype. And frankly, it's racialized. And I don't know why you would put it in Menominee Falls rather than in the city of Milwaukee, where you have the greatest joblessness. That's where, but they folks have abandoned those areas, which does make you wonder about who they're willing to hire. But let me give you an example, and this goes back to the great comments Maggie made. The first Joint Finance Committee public hearing, where this gerrymandered majority pretends to listen to the public, but really doesn't, right? If you look at the testimony versus what they do, was in Waukesha at the Expo Center. So I went out to that one. We had a press conference there as well. And I saw all of these kind of manufacturing plants, you know, of the cut, you know, rows and rows and cars parked at them. So it looked like there was a whole lot of employment you don't see in the north side of Milwaukee. So I just on a lark, I go, let me put in my app on Maps, see how long it would take me to get there by public transit. Any guesses, Maggie or Earl?
Hey,
an hour.
Hold the thought, Dr. Craig. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. The Dawn of Resistance and Dr. Craig together. We'll be right back. You can text us at that same number. And I am excited about what is probably the most dynamic hour in radio anywhere. Dr. Robert Craig and the Dawn of Resistance herself, Maggie Dawn, joining me in this hour. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Call in if you dare. Dr. Craig, Maggie was asking you about the amount of time and transportation, how long it took to get to those jobs.
Yeah, so it's even worse than Maggie thought, Maggie.
Oh, boy.
My college roommate, freshman year in college, was from northern New Hampshire, and they had a phrase up in northern New Hampshire, you can't get there from here.
Yeah.
According to the Maps app, there was no way to get there by mass transit.
Yeah, so maybe Paul from Waukesha is all wet. I mean, even if you can get there, if you live in the inner city, and I, you know, we have to deal with the racialized nature of a lot of these policies and what's sort of undergirding some of these comments that we're hearing. So let's just say you're somebody that lives in the inner city of Milwaukee. You want to get to that job out in Menlo Falls. Just for argument's sake, let's assume there's a bus line. That's probably easily an hour plus to get out there. And by the way, Milwaukee County Transit System is about to go bust in 2025. And Republicans have yet to lift a finger in the Wisconsin legislature to do anything about it. Okay? That takes an hour plus, and you're going to go make $20 an hour. Well, $20 an hour about comes out to, in a 40-hour work week, 40 G's a year, give or take,
poverty.
Right? You pay close to 8 G's of that in federal income tax. I haven't even gotten to state income tax, all right? What does a house for four people, two adults, two kids, or one adult and three kids in Menominee Falls cost to rent? It's upwards of $1,500. You're taking home a very small piece of change after that. You're also paying healthcare co-pays and deductibles, Social Security right. tax, unemployment tax. All that stuff's coming out of your paycheck.
Child support.
Child care. People I know.
And we haven't talked about whether there are benefits, whether there's
correct.
Health coverage.
Or whether they allow folks
right?
or force them to work 39 hours. So that the Fair Labor Standards Act doesn't kick in and there are no benefits, right? That is, I'm just going to say it. Anybody here want to raise a hand and say, I'll raise two kids on 40 G's a year? I don't want that challenge because I don't think I can meet it. And so I think the question isn't, is there a need for people in skilled trades? Yes, there is. It's what you were talking about, Dr. Craig, is that there's a mismatch and we're not willing to talk about the systemic problems that are not getting the people who don't have jobs to the places and are ready to work in the jobs that are available. And that is about infrastructure and training and what the actual cost of living is for working poor in this country.
Let's do this, Dr. Craig. Let's get Ken from Sturgeon Bay. Ken, quickly.
Don't people have vehicles?
No, they don't have vehicles.
No, poor people do not have vehicles, Ken.
Well, how can you afford it? You need a job that will pay you enough to own a vehicle, Ken. And even the vehicles that they have are pasted together with Band-Aids.
I want to take Ken's question really seriously. Let me try to offer an answer. If you did not come from an economically stable home and you have always had to work to just get by, generally speaking, yes. You haven't had the ability to sock away an extra $1,000 or $2,000. You have also likely had housing insecurity, which has immediate huge economic impacts on folks. You are often subject to predatory landlords who will require extraordinary deposits, who will refuse to return deposits off of completely bogus reasons. You also are then subject to, if you are not able to get a 40-hour a week job with benefits, you get laid off, you will blow through whatever tiny bit of savings that you are able to put away. When you are chronically economically insecure, you cannot get that $1,000 for even a junker car to try to get to that job in Menominee Falls.
So quickly, Ken.
Yeah, my wife raised three kids. We did. I worked sometimes two, three jobs when I was going to college.
So you and your wife raised three kids. She didn't do it alone.
Yes.
Okay.
No.
It was a different time.
Yeah, well, it's not that long ago. I mean, there's always an excuse not to work. If you want to work, you get a job.
We're not talking about people not wanting to work. We're talking about jobs paying enough.
You can come up with transportation, the wages, the benefits.
Let me ask you this. Can I ask you a real sincere question?
Sure.
Okay, so when you were in college working three jobs, how much did your college tuition cost?
I still got bills.
No. How much did your tuition cost?
35, depending on curriculums per semester.
Okay. Did you go to Marquette?
No.
Where'd you?
WGB.
Oh, okay. So WGB does not cost in-state $30,000 a year. So I'm just going to put that out there. But was your wife at home with the kids? Like, did you have help or were you entirely on your own?
On her own.
All right. Listen, okay. we got to go to break. Dr. Craig will come to you as soon as we get back from the break. Tom, Bill, and others. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Just a tremendous 1-2 punch this morning. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, and Maggie Dawn, Corporate Counsel of Milwaukee County. Let's go back to Dr. Craig. Dr. Craig, you kind of heard Ken from Stoughton. I mean, from where was it? Wherever it's from.
Sturgeon Bay.
Sturgeon Bay. Dr. Craig, how do you begin to educate people like that? Because he represents so many people with the truth of what's taking place.
Well, Ken seemed more open to conversation than the first caller who wouldn't tell us what company had these great jobs in Menominee Falls. And I don't quite understand why they wouldn't if they had them and were desperate for workers. Maybe they wouldn't because one of the three of us might check out and see if that were really true. Don't know, but they can still send them over to Earl, and I'm sure Earl, you'll announce it, right?
Yes, sir.
And we all know people. We organize the north side of Milwaukee that are looking for good jobs and can't find them. I would say it's deeply embedded in the conservative mind that this has to do with workers, Americans being lazy, when the empirical data is to the opposite. We're the hardest working developed industrial country in the world. Work more hours, and people feel shame if they're not working. I'm telling
they've
got the message. And we need to be more open to why rather than defaulting to this myth. I mean, Ronald Reagan, in the midst of very high unemployment, in the recession in the early 80s, came out and said, well, the Washington Post has pages and pages of want ads. There are plenty of jobs, right? And so, because this is an article of belief, that was a popular statement, regardless of, once you look at those jobs, they were not jobs available to the people. The people were just lining up the unemployment office around with lines around blocks because they weren't looking at the Washington Post want ads. Of course, that wasn't true. And it's well known that there's been white flight in terms of residential housing, right?
Yep.
And a lot of communities in Milwaukee out in the suburbs are white flight communities. But what's less discussed is the white flight of the jobs. How many of the jobs that didn't go overseas when we had a great industrial economy and the most prosperous African-American middle class in the country in the late 70s, the ones that didn't go overseas,
you went to suburbs.
A lot of them are out in the suburbs away from mass transit. Why would you do that? Do you remember, Earl and Maggie, that in the 90s when they had such massive, under Tommy Thompson, reconstruction of the interstate going west, that they had a temporary train service, and the suburbs were so upset, concerned about people coming in from Milwaukee, in other words, diverse people, that they only went one way in the morning from the suburbs and one way in the late afternoon after work back to the suburbs.
Yep. That has been a battle that the city and the county have been fighting for decades. You say you want workers. We have workers. Partner with us to set up a job training facility. Partner with us to have some sort of rapid transit, whether that's public transit or a dedicated bus line. You ever see those coach buses lined up in downtown Milwaukee around the beginning of the workday and the end of the workday. That's the modern day equivalent of the Tommy Thompson unidirectional train lines. Those are coach buses that take basically white folks from the burbs into the city every day, don't run the opposite way, and take them back out into the suburbs at the end of the day. We have to, and I couldn't agree with you more, and Dr. Craig, when you talk about this underlying kernel of what's motivating these policies and discussions. And one of the things that I like to ask people is, what if every person who's unemployed isn't lazy? What if we do have a structural problem where people cannot get out of the cycle of poverty? What if you're not entirely correct? If you're just a little bit wrong, or maybe even half wrong, or wrong some of the time, then we have a real problem, because we are treating every unemployed person, every person who's struggling and working poor, as if they are all morally reprehensible, and our policies are laden with moral judgments of folk. And even if you are wrong some part, most of the time, what sort of damage are we wreaking on our working poor? And this is not just now in cities. In our most urban areas, you are absolutely right. We are seeing the proliferation of the corporate farm, the consolidation of farming, and the pain that is extracting in rural communities. Working poor is not just a black and brown folk issue, but if our policies are underladen and grounded in effectively Reagan racism that speaks to these dog whistles about excuses and laziness, we then condemn every working poor person who is trapped in that cycle, no matter how worthy they might be. And we can debate whether or not worthiness should be part of this discussion. I'll always say no. But if you are wrong even a portion of the time, and that's what you build 100% of your policies around, you create an unending cycle in a country where, as Dr. Craig said, we work harder than any other westernized democracy.
Dr. Craig?
Yeah, that's the problem. And we're not also serious digging in more deeply into the workforce question. The trainings that do exist, not only, and the ones that are harped upon, some of them do a lot of good work for individual workers, right? But they're not conveniently located. They don't provide a source of income when you're getting the training. Exactly. And they're not really accessible to people who are the most hardcore unemployed. Look at all the formerly incarcerated people we have that have served their time and are now second-class citizens and can't even begin to get into the workforce and need a lot. So what really works, I mean, and this becomes, people, you know, will say this is radical, but this works, is having subsidized jobs programs, transitional jobs programs, where people are paid to get the training and actually start doing the work, and then in so doing become a hireable workforce for private business. That is an extremely effective model. It reduces the poverty rate massively and eliminates workforce shortages. I just, last week, the Blue Green Alliance had a great event out in Madison at the Painters Training Union, their training center out in Fitchburg, where the governor was there and mayors of multiple cities, a lot of the major cities of Wisconsin, for a discussion of this. And I kicked off one of the panels, but all of the mayors are having trouble even using the federal money that's available to create green jobs to address the climate crisis for a shortage of workers. But the workforce interventions we have are not sufficient to line up those workers. The Department of Labor had a warning a couple months ago that we don't have workers for the green economy even to meet what we're currently funding for climate change, not the additional funding that we absolutely need to prevent runaway climate change, because we're going to need to massively grow that workforce. So we could create a giant workforce like we did in the 1930s and for the World War II and do it for real, or we can keep having this circular firing squad blame game and blaming people for a systemic problem.
So Tom, quickly, Tom.
Just basically, I think you guys hit on it directly right away, Earl, which was, one, why hasn't the Wisconsin legislature shown up for work in a year, and why it is that they think that they, who are the ones that are supposed to be speaking for the people, don't show up themselves? Because that was one of the main thrusts of what we were getting at from the start. So I'd love to hear that from those conservative callers. Also, just as Maggie was saying, you know, $16,000 goes to medical premiums and medical issues, $16,000 goes to taxes, $16,000 goes to child care, $16,000 goes to mortgage or rent. You haven't even gotten to food yet. You haven't gotten to vacation. You haven't gotten to student loan borrowing. I would just like to know from the conservatives, what do they want people to do?
Tom, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Eric from Wauwatosa. Eric, you say what, sir?
Hello. Good morning, y'all.
Quickly.
I'd like to say, as far as Menominee Falls, a real quick thing, not to pick on Menominee Falls. My first question is, doesn't everybody else get a car on their 16th birthday? But seriously.
It's a BMW 3
Menominee
Series.
Falls,
yes, BMW 3 Series.
Even recently, Menominee Falls was in writing for being hostile towards folks from Milwaukee coming to and from, getting hassled, et cetera. So what they're asking is kind of a something that's been discussed in the city is like, are you going to go out to Menominee Falls for that job? I'm not going out to Menominee Falls for that job. And without bus lines, I live in Tulsa, where they've worked to eliminate some, and they wanted to, if they could, eliminate more. Burleigh's a gauntlet for cops pulling people over that they choose to pick. But what I'd like to say in general, though, is let me say, white Wisconsinites, business, all of us, whatever, we as a state, we have yet to deal with the Great Migration like adults. Explain to me when this was ever addressed and dealt with and handled like adults.
Hey,
during the manufacturing era, it's like sports. Winning cures all ill.
Eric, man, well said. I wish I had more time. Let's go to Rico from Rock County. Hey, good morning, Rico. You say what, sir?
Hey, I love the way Maggie addressed him. It was a talking trope or something she used in his example. I believe the latest figures was 2.5% out of Wisconsin for unemployment. And ironically enough, I've heard a lot of talk this morning about construction and skilled trades. You might be surprised at how many of the 2.5% of people actually are in construction and skilled trades, and this is the reason why. Sometimes there's supply shortages. They don't stand around. They'll send you home, wait for them, come back. And a lot of times what people don't understand in the construction skilled trades is sometimes it's a big, huge job. And sometimes when that job rolls down to the end, they don't always necessarily have a hole in the ground and are ready to go with the necessary workers right to the next job. It takes time. So they send these guys home. They collect unemployment until the job's ready. No, I could go elsewhere and work, but do you really want to spend your time training me and showing me how your culture, how your company does it, when I'm going to turn around in a week or two or a month and say, well, I'm going back to my previous employer? There is always going to be, guys, a certain amount of unemployment, and the reason that it is because of construction and skilled trades sometimes.
Hey, Rico,
and I ain't even gotten into manufacturing.
Rico,
I ain't even talked about Chrysler.
Hey, I wish we had more time, man. Thank you very much for the call. Al, let's try to squeeze you in. Al, you say what, sir?
I recently got a postcard in the mail from a southern school district south of Milwaukee. And they had four districts outlining a construction trades program and training program for high school students. I saw one similar to that in Madison around Sun Prairie and what have you, but it did not include the city of Madison. So there are training programs for construction trades being set up in the high schools in suburban districts, but they're not including the city. So what I did is I put that postcard in an envelope and sent it to the superintendent of schools in Milwaukee and asked him, why isn't Milwaukee included?
Well, I'll give
because
you
if they're going to train people for construction trades in all the suburban districts, why aren't they utilizing those things for the city of Milwaukee to get some of these kids skilled trained so that they can get into those jobs?
Well, that certainly used to be part, right, of MPS.
Right.
We then have to address the systemic public school funding rock and hard place that MPS finds itself after 2.5 decades of choice and voucher programs, which conservatives have weaponized to effectively defund urban school systems like Milwaukee.
You know, listen, we've got to go to a break. Al, thank you. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. So... As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. And, you know, and I said this from the beginning. When you bring Maggie Dawn and Dr. Robert Craig together, you know, there's just not enough time to have the kind of discussions and the quality of the discussions that we're going to have with the two of them. Dr. Craig, you want to say after all those callers? Yes, sir.
I mean, a number of the callers are right on. I just think that people can lean into biases, right, in describing this and get all agitated, or we can actually deal with the situation. I would point out that the unemployment rate is a mismeasure of the number of non-employed people.
Yes.
It only it doesn't count people who have become discouraged and have stopped working. There's a much larger number. So we know there are large numbers of formerly incarcerated people, people who have never had access to a good job, who are out of the job market altogether, especially African-American men in the Milwaukee area, that you need a much more fundamental workforce intervention, like a transitional jobs program, a serious big one, in order to intervene in the situation, just like we intervened in unemployment in the 1930s. We actually know how to do it, and there's good research behind it. But this going round and around just perpetuates it. It reminds me of some other issues like immigration,
yes,
where I really feel like those who capitalize on that politically don't actually want to solve the problem.
No.
They simply want to be able to agitate on it over and over again. That's a good political issue for them.
And here's the thing, right? I could almost swallow as part of the compromise that is necessary in legislating in a democracy if there was a proposal that said, listen, we may reduce the number of weeks of unemployment, but we are going to use the research that you're referring to, Dr. Craig, and we are going to stand up one of the country's most robust job transition and job training programs. In other words, if you combine the system that can get people to actual independent economic support and what people want, which is to work and to work with dignity, while saying, listen, we've got to do something, if you believe or come from that right end of the spectrum, to reduce that unemployment benefit. That at least would indicate to me that we're operating in a place of good faith. So it's to me, again, if you're going to say, let's reduce this benefit, I want to see, what is your public policy solution to help solve the underlying problem? And I would be remiss if I didn't mention this. If we look back into the model for when did we pay for apprenticeships, when were apprenticeships effectively paid, or when were people paid to do some training? And largely, unions held that role.
That's exactly it.
Right? And so now we're in basically a very post-union, post-organized labor, although we're seeing, you know, upstarts in that movement. And so we have to ask ourselves, what has supplanted that? If people are at economic risk, what is going to get them to the place where they can self-sustain? And if the answer is, well, just screw them and let's put the screws to them, nobody's talking about solution. All that is a moral judgment. And again, I would be totally disingenuous if I didn't say, wow, a moral judgment of people that are working poor takes a whole lot of chutzpah to make that judgment. And if you're wrong, even a proportion of the time that's material, now we've built a public policy, a labor policy entirely around a moral judgment that is not true 100% of the time.
Dr. Craig?
Yeah, it's not true almost all the time.
Correct.
Just because there are people who are freeloaders, they're freeloaders at
every
economic level.
Yes.
Including a lot of trust fund babies, because we're creating a lot of those by creating massive income inequality and wealth that goes from generation to generation without earning it. I have much more of a moral judgment on the corporate sector of the state that both decries a workforce shortage and then opposes all the policies that would address it.
As well as supporting a wage that would induce people to come into those jobs if they're able to get there. You crank that hourly wage up a whole heck of a lot, and people are making a different economic calculation. What seemed impossible maybe becomes possible. Sorry to interrupt, Dr. Craig.
No, you're totally right. And they're all market-based when it comes to what's in their interest, but they're happy to say, it's unfair, I can't hire someone at the wage I want to pay them. Right.
Yep.
That's not unfair. That's a market. Right. No one, unless you believe in wage slavery, no one is forced to work for you unless you make it worth their while. It has to be a win-win situation for the employer and the employee. And we've missed that. We're just going to beat up on workers because we can't get people to take the wage we're willing to offer. And you see that a lot. There's no shortage. I mean, this has been something Mark Levine from UWM has talked about a lot. Yep. There was a claim of a shortage of welders, and he would point out that there's a massive number of welders, but the pay is incredibly low, and they're whining because they can't get them at wages that will not draw them into your workplace.
And this is, you know, there has always been for me an underlying complete illogic to some of the arguments that I hear coming from the right when we talk about working poor in the workforce. And you just described it, but let me specify it a bit. And that is rah, 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 capitalism, right? And the fundamental principle of capitalism is that individuals are profit seeking, profit maximizing, that they will act in their own best interest. And so, if you've got family-supporting jobs, your fundamental economic theory would say people will find them and fill them.
You know why I know that all the things that you guys are talking about are accurate? Because in my lifetime, and Dr. Craig, in your lifetime, we saw what happened when they offered, you know, family-sustaining jobs. People worked them. There was no talk about unemployment. When they paid people a livable wage, they worked them. It's as Maggie just stated now, it's the fact that they don't want to pay a livable wage.
And just FYI, 20 bucks an hour ain't it.
Well, no, I'll give for 15. Go ahead, Dr. Craig.
There was more of a recognition during the 90s, though it wasn't followed through on. When welfare work was done here in Wisconsin, the idea was you're going to provide them things like Badger Care started because we were doing this, and we also more enhanced training. It didn't continue other than Badger Care. No. By the way, that shows that Republican Governor Tommy Thompson
believed that lack of
health care was a barrier.
I'm sorry, Karina, so, and anyway. Others. We've got to go. Thank everybody who made the show go. See you on tomorrow. Good show.